My guest at this time is Dr. Mike Evans, longtime Middle East expert. He is the author of many books, including Atomic Iran and Jimmy Carter, the Liberal Left and World Chaos. He's also a longtime personal friend to current Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We want to get his thoughts today on the unrest in Egypt, as well as the restarted Middle East peace talks between the Israelis and Palestinians at the behest of the United States. And Dr. Evans, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be back, Greg.
Well, let's start in Egypt, sir, since that's where most of the headlines are today. It was over a month ago now that the military removed Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood from power. The Morsi supporters have stayed in the streets. The military vowed recently that they would be removed. Today, they made good on that promise, and the different perspectives on what's happening here is basically, on the one hand, some people say that the military is being brutal in the put-down, and on the other hand, the opponents of the Muslim Brotherhood say they are simply looking for an opportunity to paint themselves as the sympathetic victim in all this. What's your take?
Well, it's all about mosques, mullahs, and madrasas. This is a caliphate. It's Shia and Sunni caliphate, and fundamentally, the Muslim Brotherhood is ground zero for everything that's happening in the Middle East. They go back a long ways. They were aligned with the Nazi Party in the early 30s, and their intentions have not changed. What's the battle with the Caliphate? Of course, the Shia, they believe they can dominate the Middle East. That would be Iran, and their surrogates all the way from Afghanistan through Iraq, going up into Syria. And the Muslim Brotherhood is making their move. Fortunately for us, they were knocked out of Egypt, because that would have been honed into another Islamic state like Iran if it hadn't happened.
Dr. Evans, how do you expect the Egyptian people, by and large, to respond to what's happening there today? And what do you expect from the international community?
Well, the dilemma you have in the Middle East, about a third of the population is uneducated, and another two-thirds are unemployed. So when you've got about 50% of the population of young people, and the mullahs, madrasas, and are emboldening them and dumbing them down, it's a real problem. You know, there in that part of the world, the bazaars determine everything, poetry and politics. They're going to game the system. You'll have civil war ultimately in Egypt. There's no question about it. It's not over yet. This is a battle for Islam. It's not about democracy. It never was. And of course, the only good news for Egypt is they have a very strong army.
If there is persistent instability there, at the very least, or even full-blown civil war, as you suggest may be the case, what is the impact, first of all, on the region, including Israel, and secondly, on minorities inside Egypt, particularly Coptic Christians?
Well, for the Christians, it's they're in the crosshairs. It's the same way for them in the Palestinian territory. They're hated, they're despised, they're considered aligned with the West, and it's a battle. Now, for the state of Israel, we call it a ring of fire. Around Israel right now, you have Syria with al-Qaeda in Syria. You have the destabilization right now of most of the Middle East. You've got the Egyptian Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood. You've got Hamas, you've got Hezbollah. And, of course, you've got John Kerry on his white horse, trying to save the day by forcing Israel to give up a terrorist, release terrorists, and make peace with the Palestinians who don't want peace. Not to speak of the fact Iran is a screwdriver away from going nuclear. I mean, you just had the Minister of Defense appointed, who was over the big terrorist attack that I was there. I was October 23rd, 1983. I was with the Marines in Lebanon. I slept in the beachhead that night. I wasn't in the unit. I was covering them when they were blown up by Hezbollah. So this is happening again, and it's a very serious situation, very, very dangerous neighborhood.
You're clearly pessimistic about any progress being made in these talks. What are you hearing from leaders in Israel?
Oh, no, they don't have any optimism. Listen, Netanyahu told me personally that there's three things he would not allow. He would not allow territories, treaties, an army, or airspace. And so in order for the Palestinians to have a state, they have to have treaties, they have to have an army, they've got to have airspace. The prime minister will never, ever give that up, and it's just not going to happen. It's wrong for Kerry to come in there and give them false expectations, because when he does that, it gets people killed. They revert back to the terror card, and Jews die.
Dr. Evans, what do you make of the overall Obama administration response to all this, both the response to what's going on in Egypt, as well as its efforts to forge ahead in the peace process between the Israelis and Palestinians?
Well, Barack Obama's Jimmy Carter on steroids. Clinton had it right when he said it was a fairy tale. He doesn't have any comprehension of what he's trying to sell, and in many ways he does. He wants Islam to have their equal rights, and he doesn't understand what they will do with those equal rights. Listen, I traveled with Muhammad Khalid, commander-in-chief of the Saudi Air Force during the Persian Gulf War, and he said to me, don't exaggerate, only 10% of Muslims are radical. I said, well, you've comforted me. There's only 110 million of you that want to cut my head off. I said, I feel so much better now.
You just mentioned, sir, you believe Iran is about a screwdriver away from a nuclear weapon. Last year, you mentioned that there had been about a month-long window that Israeli leaders had targeted for a preemptive strike. That ultimately didn't happen. The conventional wisdom is because of domestic political turmoil that Prime Minister Netanyahu survived, of course, earlier this year. What about the timetable? How close is Iran to finishing this project, and what is Israel thinking in terms of a preemptive strike?
Well, actually, it got wiped out for a different reason. The former head of Israeli intelligence told me that their covert operations in Iran had slowed down the program. You know, they're very good at that. They've made some enormous advances in Iran through viruses and computers and through assassinations. And so that slowed the situation down. But right now, they're right up against the Netanyahu red line. There's no question in anybody's mind in Israel. I've talked to everyone from the Minister of Defense, Moshe Lon, to the head of the Air Force. All of them are telling me the same thing. They're right up against it now. They're bumping up against Netanyahu's red line. So it's imminent. That's the word they're all using, imminent.
Can we expect Israeli military action, or is that option not as plausible as we once thought?
Listen, the head of commander-in-chief of the U.S. Chief of Joint Chiefs of Staff is there right now. He just met with Netanyahu and my good friend Bogi Alon, who's the Minister of Defense right now, Moshe Alon. And they're talking about this. Israel's going to do it. Israel will be the U.S. proxy. They're going to have to do the attack. But what Israel's hoping for is the United States will give them backup for retaliatory targets. There's about 1,100 hard targets that have to be taken out that potentially could be a threat to American national security, Persian Gulf, our bases, et cetera, our Gulf allies. So Israel's trying to see if they can get plausible deniability support from the United States for the attack. But everything's on for the attack. It's going to happen. I mean, there's something very, very significant going to have to stop it for not happening. Right now, it's definitely on the calendar.
Do you think Israel will ultimately get that backup from the United States?
I think they will, because the dilemma that Obama has is Obama has to assure the Sunni states, which are Gulf oil states, that a non-Arab state going nuclear is not in their best interest, and they believe that. So they're going to want protection. Israel's got to fly over one of them. Israel can't get to Iran, not on a 5 to 7 day attack, without going over Gulf oil states, not to speak of going over Iraq's airspace, which we have control over, and we have a military base there. So we're going to have to protect our allies. We're going to have to protect the Persian Gulf so we don't have an economic meltdown globally. And in order to do that, some of these retaliatory targets will come out. I believe that Obama's going to come on here after the attack and say, to protect American national security, I've authorized a selective attack on retaliatory targets, and I think he'll do it. And that's all Israel's asking for. They'll do the primary attack on the reactors, but they need some assistance from the United States, and I believe they're going to get it.
Dr. Evans will be watching. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today, as always.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good one.
Dr. Mike Evans, longtime Middle East expert. He is the author of many books, including Atomic Iran and Jimmy Carter, The Liberal Left and World Chaos. He is also a longtime personal friend to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.